Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me on the phone, unbelievable that we could get you, Pat. Pat Longo has been a healer. She is a medium, a psychic, intuitive, hands-on healing, but all, I would say, spiritual counselor, mentor to many. Thank you so much for being on the program, Pat.
Thank you so much, Jennifer, for having me. I'm very excited.
Me too. Because, you know, you get approached to do a lot of stuff. And I just thought when I reached out to you, and I was grateful that my friend Sherry, another medium, reached out to you first. And she said, you've got to get Pat. And I said, I don't know that she would do it. You know, you're a big deal out there on the East Coast and you're a busy lady worldwide. And so you said that you got a feeling that it was the right choice. And I'm just so grateful for that. And thank you for your intuitive hit for being a good one on this in regards to being on this program.
Well, thank you. I really am. I am excited. Yes, people do invite me on different podcasts and shows, and I'm kind of picky about it and who I align myself with and things like that. And as a spiritual healer, I kind of have to stay on the right page with the right people all the time.
And that's important. And, you know, one thing I love about your journey so much, Pat, is that this isn't something you were born with. You didn't, I mean, obviously you were, but you weren't using this gift from the age of four on. I've interviewed a lot of people that don't remember their life without it. And for you, it came much later in your 30s. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. It was nothing like the students that I have come in here and the clients that I see every day.
Right.
People talk to me all the time, 3 years old, 2 years old, I remember this, my past life, I've always seen spirit. It was nothing like that for me. I did have a feeling that there was more.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, raised Catholic, went to Catholic school and taught religious ed even when my kids were younger. And I always felt there was more. Something didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't fit. And so I was on a search. And it really wasn't until my mom got sick and diagnosed with inoperable breast bone and bone cancer. And I took her to a healer. I went to a psychic.
Mm-hmm.
And the psychic said, is your mother opposed to alternative methods of healing? And I said, I don't know. What do you mean? And he mentioned this woman to me, and he said she's had great success with cancer. And I said, what does she have to lose? You know, her diagnosis was very grim, and she didn't do well with chemo. Her white counts would crash, and it just didn't work. So I took her to the healer.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first experience with a healer, and she was a young woman, and she looked like a flower child, and she's in this big barn house way out on the island, and I went for it. And my mother went into remission. She went into remission for 15 years. And
that is so amazing because it was in her bones. I mean, this wasn't just like isolated. It was in the bones.
Yeah.
Wow.
She had it in the hips, the pelvis, and the rib cage, the pelvis, and the skull.
Mm.
And it stayed stationary. Like she would go for a PET scan every year or however often they needed. Not a PET scan. I don't think they did PET scans then, but she did a CT scan. And they would see it sitting there, dormant, not doing anything. And she had no pain, no difficulties. She took care of my father until his passing, and then she really didn't want to be here anymore. So when my mother left this planet and went home, she was 84,
right?
And it wasn't from cancer.
Amazing.
So, you know, I knew at that point in time that something amazing was going on. And any psychic, and I had five kids when I was young. I didn't have a lot of money. And I'd go to a psychic fair once a year. I'd pick the flyers. I'd go to two people. And most of the time I was disappointed, but every now and then I'd come across somebody that would hit on things. And they would say to me, you're a healer.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'd see the medical sign. Or they'd say, you're a nurse. I didn't know what they were talking about.
Right.
And so here we are, and I didn't see what this woman did to my mom. She was upstairs in a bedroom. I was downstairs watching Oprah. And when we came outside, you know, my mom and I got in the car, and the woman ran out to the car in her bare feet. And we opened the window, and she said to my mom, do you pray to the Blessed Mother? And my mother said, every day, because my mother was definitely rosary. She did her all the stations and all that every day. And she said the Blessed Mother was in the room with me, and I was just so overwhelmed that I didn't say anything. And she felt she had to tell her. And on the way home, my mother looked at me and she said, "Why not me?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my mother's whole attitude had changed because this woman said, "What's eating you up inside?"
Mm.
And it was an age-old thing that went back 20 years. And it came to the surface and everything just kind of went away. And next thing you know, I was in a spiritual class. And it was a matter of weeks before my hands started to burn and heat up. And I thought I was crazy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I told my husband, "I don't know what's the matter with me. I think it's menopause, but why is it only my hands that are hot?"
You know? Right, right. You don't even know. I mean, you had set the intention that you wanted to learn more about healing, and you saw how your mom... Did your mom only go to that healer one time?
Yes.
Wow, that's all it took.
Which is how I see people. That's
yeah.
I see people the same way. And I didn't go to it really for healing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 10-week course, and it was in a woman's home. And 1 week was tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
The next week would be angels. The next week would be UFOs.
Right.
It was anything. We would do dowsing. I mean, we learned pendulums. But it was 10 weeks of very interesting information and meditation,
right,
which is the real key to opening up your spiritual gifts. And so meditation, I guess I was a late bloomer. And my hands began to get really hot, so hot that they were uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't cool them down. And I went to class, that's probably the fourth week. And Holly, who was my teacher, she asked me to move over on the couch one day. It was a rainy Monday morning. And I was on a very soft marshmallowy couch, and she was on a folding chair. And what I didn't know about her is that she had been in a car accident years before,
mm-hmm.
and the rain and the aches and the pains and the soft tissue, she was twisting and turning on the chair. So Holly said, "Pat, could you make some space for her?" I moved over. She sat down. Holly said, "Pat, put your hand on her thigh." And I looked at her like she had two heads.
Right.
Why would I do that? And she said, "Just put your hand on her leg." Now, please remember, I had no idea
mm-hmm.
what I was doing, and I didn't do anything. I just put my hand on her leg.
Right.
And 2 minutes later, she had no pain. So I went out of that class reeling. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how I got home. But that's how it started, and I didn't know what to do. I went to the library. I tried to find books. I couldn't find anything. I don't think they had a New Age section then.
No.
And I was definitely looking in the wrong place. I couldn't find anything. I was looking for faith healing, spiritual healing, hands-on healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally found one book, and I think it was called Healing Hands because it disappeared from me a long time ago. It was a very small hand, soft cover book, and
yep.
I read it, and it made sense to me. And I knew it wasn't coming from me.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly knew that. That's the one thing I was very sure of. But I still thought I could heal the world.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Oh, my God, God gave me this amazing gift. I can heal the world." So, of course, I had to get my ego, grab it.
Right.
Put a lasso around it and hold it down. And after I started practicing, and I mean practicing on my siblings without them knowing it,
sure.
I started taking on their pain.
Mm.
Somebody had a headache, I got the headache.
Right.
And they had a stiff neck, I got the stiff neck. So I said, "All right, God, we need to have a chat. I can't be walking around with everybody's pain. If you want me to do this, we got to fix it." And I guess my own thoughts, my own guidance, things I didn't even know then, I didn't even recognize them, directed me to protect myself and ground myself. And I didn't have a problem anymore. Mm-hmm. I started to touch people and they started to heal, and I worked in an office at that time behind a computer, and I just was being pulled all around the tri-state area by word of mouth. And I went where I had to go, and eventually in 1997, I quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "I can't be here anymore. I have to do this." And, of course, people thought I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And but I did it anyway. And I was lucky enough to have a husband that took care of the finances, and I could branch out and get started with this.
And how did he take to this? Because you married your husband when you were 18. You were absolute sweethearts. And,
yes.
You know, how did he, considering you didn't embrace this until your 30s, was he on board?
He had a tough, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
He had a tough time with it.
Yeah.
He at first, it's almost like having an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because when you get the spiritual bug, when it hits you, you just need to go.
Right.
And I couldn't get there fast enough. Stop signs and lights in my way were a problem. Getting, I just needed to get there. And I needed to read, and I read, and I read voraciously. I just kept reading and filling my soul, filling my brain. And he kind of felt left out. And please remember, now I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, and all of a sudden I'm a healer. Where did that come from? Who are you? Who do you think you are? You know, and so he, my husband was very gentle, very soft, very sweet, very balanced. So he never gave me a hard time about it, except once, and that was on Thanksgiving. And I was having a big get-together. I always had my family, so there was about 32 people for dinner that year. And I had crystals on the windowsill. Mm-hmm. I had gotten into crystals. I went the whole route.
Right, sure.
And crystals, I had put them in sea salt. They're on the windowsill and the sun. And one of my nieces asked me about the crystals. She started asking some questions in the dining room. It was after dinner. Mm-hmm. Everything was cleaned up. Everybody was someplace else. And he walked in while I was giving an explanation. And I could see the smoke coming out of his ears. He got all... And he turned around and walked out and went upstairs.
Wow.
So I followed him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very little. I'm like 4 foot 10. My husband was a foot taller than me. And I just looked up at him and I said, listen to me. I did not ask for this gift, but I'm not giving it back.
No kidding.
So you need to get on board.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get on board. And he did. And he brought me some of my most amazing clients in the very beginning. He brought me my first patient with AIDS way back when. From the city.
Wow.
And, you know, he never kind of told me what he was doing, but somehow he managed to tell other people about me, even at the gas station, you know.
Right. Oh, my wife can heal you. Right.
Yeah, yeah. I'd go into a wake and he'd say, oh, you know, my wife could do this. She'd put her hands on you, she'll lower your blood pressure. Like,
would you do that to him? Would you do that for your husband on occasion? I'm sure you were healing him all the time as well.
Well, I did... he was always pretty stoic. There was never any big deal. He was diagnosed with cancer in 2002. Mm-hmm. And for 9 years, he managed quite nicely. He had no one knew, no one in his on the train, his train buddies, nobody knew in the city where he worked. Nobody knew anything because he never complained. He had 21 surgeries during that time. He had a very aggressive tumor type. And so he had all these surgeries. He never skipped a day of work. He was off Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So mm-hmm. he'd have his surgery on Thursday. He'd be back to work on Sunday, and nobody was any the wiser. So, of course, I was doing healing during that time, and I was teaching him how to not allow things to upset him, and that cancer comes from emotional traumas and upset.
Right.
And, you know, he wasn't a talker about things like that. He lost his dad when he was 13. And I never heard word one about his father. There was never any conversation. So these are things that he kept to himself. And there were other things, you know, that came up along the way in work situations, things that fester. And always remember the words eating you up inside, because when something's eating you up, that's when you get in trouble.
And how do you recommend that people get through that? Because you talk about that a lot, about reaching your emotional core of an illness, right? And I was just sitting with a neurologist a couple of days ago, and her belief system is that if we have an emotional trauma, then it manifests into a physical, you know, ailment or illness, right?
Absolutely. That's
yes.
exactly what happens. It's
and
exactly
so happens. When people get, they come to you, and you, do you psychically see what that trauma is for them? And it was 26 years ago, or you know, give me an example of somebody coming to you.
Nothing. I am nothing like that.
Okay.
You said one thing in the introduction that I'm a medium, and that I am not.
Oh, got it.
I teach everybody. Don't ask me how. It's part of my gift. My gift is kind of like a clair cognizance, where I just kind of know things.
Sure.
And I can feel it. I feel it. So if a person sits in front of me, and I ask them to go back several years before they began having any symptoms, because it takes a while to eat up, to create that disease. So I always go back. Mm-hmm. And if they tell me something and I don't feel it, I will feel it right in my gut. If I don't feel it, I tell them they have to back up.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go even further back. And I will always find it. And when I find it, there is such an emotion attached to it for that person, and it's something they might not have even thought about in years. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, there it is, and the tears start to flow. And I know I hit pay dirt.
Right.
So what I have to do at that point is teach them how to let it go, how to forgive it, how to understand that we, as spiritual beings, existed on another side as souls before we ever became human beings. And we were in soul groups. And our loved ones, our enemies, our family, we were all together on the other side. And some of us made agreements. Mm-hmm. Some of us said, well, I'm going to be the bad guy this time. I'm going to sacrifice this life, and I'm going to come in, and I'm going to be the bad guy so that you can learn and grow.
Right.
And when I put it to people that way, when I help them understand that we thank and bless and release the people who abused us, and I get a lot of abuse here, a lot of abuse comes through my doors, and I explain to them that you went through that so that you could learn and grow and learn how to be a better person, how never to abuse another soul. Mm-hmm. You know, people are put in our lives to teach us either what to do or what never to do.
Right.
And if we don't learn from it, we continue the cycle and we continue to have the same situation repeat itself throughout our lives.
Right.
Over and over again. But when you learn it and you can forgive it, and I'll tell you, I put it to them like this. I said, you see my shoulder? I have my little finger here, and I'm going to flick it like a gnat.
Mm-hmm.
Right off my shoulder. And I said, that is how important it is to you. You do not, when you go back in time to things that we cannot change, and you go towards the future that doesn't exist, you are giving your power away. You're giving your energy to the people who hurt you.
Right.
Okay? It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. You're pulling from your own energy field. And forgiveness isn't for them. It's for you.
Right.
It's for you so that you stay healthy.
And there's so much fear with forgiveness, though, too. I mean, it's almost like people think that if they forgive, then they're condoning the behavior, which is not the case. And I tell people that a lot. You have to understand it is not saying that what you did was okay, and therefore we're going to give you a medal. It's letting you be surrendered from the pain that you're holding on to and making matter. You make it matter. So then it literally becomes matter in your body.
Well, those are the perfect words, holding on to.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. We hold on to it. And the minute we learn how to let it go, the minute we release it, your body becomes very light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when I put my hands on people, and sometimes it's mostly over people. I don't do a lot of hand contact.
Okay.
When I put my hands over people, when I'm finished, sometimes I see a complete transformation. I see their face change. They tell me all manner of things. They say, I feel so much lighter. I feel like 50 pounds. I actually lost 50 pounds. I can breathe. I feel taller. Somebody said, I think my neck got taller. Somebody said, you manipulated my spine. Somebody said, I held their chair up in the air and they were floating. I don't do these things, of course, but this is how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
If they come in horribly depressed, their faces light up.
Mm-hmm.
I've had heroin addicts come in, and one man admitted to shooting up before he came in my door.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left, he was clean and clear, and he never went back. And he looked at me. He said, I have been on drugs since I'm 13. I'm 38 years old now. And he said, and I don't remember when I had a clear thought. So the energy transference is so huge. But my words come first.
Mm-hmm.
The healing is always at the end. I talk first, I teach, I counsel, identify, and then I do the healing. The healing takes 5 minutes.
Right. It's the other stuff leading up to it that's the sort of getting the door open and sort of digging under the hood, if you will.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. And
well, I have a question. You know, you mentioned the addiction, and I have had some healers tell me that when they see people come in, that they have these attachments, almost like an energetic attachment of a spirit that was living, that's staying sort of earthbound and attaching themselves to someone because they are using and they're getting, you know, is that something you've experienced? Do you believe that?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
I don't see it.
Okay.
I just know it.
Sure.
And I talk to them about it. I happen to have one of my psychics that I've trained would read in a small restaurant bar. Mm-hmm. And before she would go in, she said she would triple protect herself because what she saw in there was this black stuff crawling all over everybody at the bar.
Mm.
And, you know, I've always known that I call them hitchhikers.
Yeah.
They attach to your energy. And when you're in a low vibration, you get the ugly ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you know, when you're one of the things I start off with when I teach is that when you drink and when you abuse any kind of substance, it's like leaving your front door open in a really bad neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you're taking on anything, things you can't see. I deal with psychic attack all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't have to see it to get rid of it. The healing does that.
That's fascinating because I just interviewed Mavis Patilla, who came over here from the United Kingdom, and she says she doesn't believe in darkness. If you give it energy, then you're making it. She thinks it's an imprint from a previous spirit that was living. But, you know, we kind of had a disagreement about it.
Yeah, it's not in my experience.
Yeah.
You know, I've taught about, oh my goodness, I can't even count the number now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say 1,000 mediums all over this world, because I teach in all different countries. And even though I do it from home, we Skype.
Right.
And I've had kids, 17-year-old boy once, brought in here by his father. And he was under psychic attack, and no one knew what was the matter with him. He was becoming very irritable and wouldn't get out of bed to go to school, and he was staying in the dark all the time. And now he's on the floor in his underwear at the foot of the stairs, and he's not even recognizing them. So the man knew my son, and he called my son, and he heard of me, and he said, do you think we're getting ready to take my son to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and do you think your mom can help? And he gave him my number, and, you know, the man was crying. He's one of my students now, actually. He's a healer himself. Quite interesting. But
the one who was 17 at the time?
The father.
The father.
Oh, 17 is a medium. Oh,
wow.
He's an amazing medium, but the father ended up being a healer.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. And that also, to anyone listening, if you have children with really intense, you know, intuition, this could happen. Mm-hmm. They could be under attack. They could be, you know, wanting to develop their gifts, not knowing how. But so, like you say, they're the open door. They're leaving their front door open in a bad neighborhood because they don't know how to control the gift.
They don't know how to control it. They just need education.
Right.
Now, Jennifer, I get kids as young as 3.
Sure.
That are gifted. And I know you've worked with the Bodine family, and, you know, there's a lot. I have families here mm-hmm. on Long Island that are all psychic. You know, mm-hmm. I have a woman in Nebraska whose husband and 3 children are psychic. They're so gifted. I see it all the time. Children, one after the next, after the next, after the next. My granddaughter is a medium, and she's 12 now. She just turned 12, but I knew it at 8.5.
Right.
Because she had extreme anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know anybody with anxiety? Trust me, they are holding a very strong gift and they don't know it.
And so how can we help get these children off all of the drugs that they're just being, you know, pounded with because they want, you know, their parents want them to fit in? I'm not saying medication doesn't have its place.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I think it does.
Neither am I.
In some cases, it's needed for adults and kids. But right now, they're like the diet pills were in the 70s. They're just throwing them at kids. Here, take this. You'll fit in. And it's really about, like you talk about, holding on and energy and also not knowing if they could be, quote, psychically attacked, or that would just be an energy that's not from them coming in and wreaking havoc in their entire nervous system.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad. I teach a lot of teachers, and they tell me the middle schools and elementary schools are full of kids that are just, they're like zombies by the time they get to middle school.
Right.
They're all medicated, and I don't understand the medical field. I know they don't understand the metaphysical field.
Right.
Okay. We haven't come together yet. I'm working on it, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But
I was going to ask, are you working with any medical doctors? Because over the weekend at the Omega Institute, they did a workshop with Carolyn Mace, of course, the medical intuitive,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Jeffrey Rediger, who went to John of God and had an epiphany. He's with Harvard Medical School, and he's a psychiatrist mm-hmm. on the psychiatry staff. And so the two of them talked about miracles and, you know, bridging the medicine and the the mystical, right? Bridging the gap between medicine and, yep. and mystic. And I think if we had more conversations like this with someone such as yourself and someone in the medical community, giving some credit to what you say is when this energy is infused into someone and they have a healing that goes off the charts. I mean, a kid who is on drugs their whole life and then stops using, someone who goes into remission with their cancer. These are things that can't be denied. They are outstanding mm-hmm. examples of compelling evidence. How can we continue this dialogue and make it so it's not so unusual?
Well, you know, I have been working at this for a very long time, trying to do just that. And I have never been to the Omega Institute. I've never gone anywhere, really, because I've been so busy, one after another, after another, after another, just teaching and teaching and teaching and healing and trying to get the information out. And I'm amazed at how far it's gone. Mm-hmm. It just isn't enough. It needs to be in the education system. And I'm making some links with people to put me in that space. Because it needs to start young. Children need to learn about anxiety, and they also need to know the drug component as to what it does to them, what an empath is. They need to know all of this. So mm-hmm. I started my own Blog Talk radio show, and I put it out every time I'm on. I am on other people's radio shows, your podcast. I am pushing myself to find other means to get the message out. I just finished a book. I am in between literary agent and publisher to get that out, and it's all about this.
Good.
It's all about this. And I'm looking for any platform that I can do it. I have a lot of doctors mm-hmm. that actually have been in my classes, gifted people.
Right.
And many, 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 many nurses and an overabundance of teachers. So some of my clients that call in will be therapists or psychiatrists, social workers in the field. And I teach them what I know mm-hmm. and ask them to teach it where they are. All I want to do is share. It
right.
doesn't do me any good to hold knowledge and not give it out because, listen, just like you, I'm one human being.
Right.
And there's only so much you can do. So, you know, I got to keep trying to find new ways. I live stream all the time.
Right.
You know, I'm forever teaching something.
Perfect.
And it always comes back to learning to educate about what is happening to people. And the medical part of it, you know, they have caught on quite a bit. You have Reiki, for instance, is in many hospitals now. They acknowledge it. They do some reflexology in hospitals. They're doing meditation mm-hmm. in hospitals. They're starting to actually notice the other parts that are not physical.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are acknowledging, maybe some more than others. My brother had gangrene of his toes. He's a childhood diabetic type 1, and he had gotten a blister while he was on vacation in Disney from new sneakers, and he has neuropathy, can't feel his feet. And he didn't check, you know, which is, his feet are always cold. When you have neuropathy, your feet are cold, so there's always socks on. So he wasn't as diligent as he could have been. And on the way home, coming all the way back to New York, he started to run a high fever. And my sister-in-law was driving, and you when with a diabetic, when you're out of control with your sugar, you can get very belligerent.
Yes.
And so she wanted to take him in at D.C. to a hospital. She didn't know what was wrong with him, but that's what her intention was. And, he fought her, so she kept going. And when she got home, she ripped off his shoes and socks, and he had three black toes.
Oh, dear.
And it was terrible. And she called me, and I got right to the hospital. And I sat, I had never been near gangrene, seen it, or unfortunately smelled it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat at his feet, and he didn't believe in what I did. You don't have to.
Okay.
And I just told him to close his eyes, and I began to pull the energy, pull the stagnation from his foot. Now, I watched his toes. I watched his toes turn from black to gray to pink. 2 hours it took me.
Mm.
The last toe, the pinky, stayed gray. Now, he did lose the pinky,
mm-hmm.
but the doctor, he walked in and he saw me doing something, and he didn't know quite what it was. And I looked up at him, and he looked at me. He says, "Look, I'll take anything I can get.
Right.
You know, all the help I can get." So you will have people like that. And you know, my brother was very lucky. He did not. He had surgery, but it was not in the bone any further than that pinky, mm-hmm. and he did not have to have skin grafting. And I taught him when I left that day. I said, "Listen, I can't be with you 24/7. You need to imagine God's light coming through the top of your head and pushing those toxins out of your body." Mm-hmm. I said, "Just do it. Just do it." And he obviously did, and he did a great job. And other ICUs. I'm in a lot of ICUs. People sure. call me for emergencies a lot.
Yeah.
And so I'll go into an ICU, and you know, nobody bothers me. No nurses get in my way. No doctors get in my way, because there's a part of me that has an authority about me that, mm-hmm. you know, you wouldn't even attempt to try to move me. And they watch things happen. They watch numbers go down. They watch all sorts of things on the machines change.
Right.
And, you know,
and that's the evidence. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. We can't get a chart that shows that God's energy is coming through your head and coming out mm-hmm. your hands, right? But you have the chart that happens when you after you do the healing. And I want to ask you a question about Reiki. I took Reiki. I became a Reiki master. But I mm-hmm. believe the symbols, for someone to say you can only access the energy with these certain symbols versus, like you just say, picturing God's energy coming yeah. through the top of your yeah. head, I don't think you need the symbols. I mean, to be honest, yeah. I think it's sort of putting a limitation to one's yeah, thinking of how it works.
Yeah, it's a wonderful practice. Uh-huh. And you know what? There are many different practices that are wonderful.
True.
There's prana, and there's Tai Chi, and there's reconnection, and there's chelation, and it goes on and on and on. Therapeutic touch, there's many, many different modalities. But what everybody's missing is that we're limitless, okay? We're limitless. We don't have to do all of that. Mm-hmm. If you have the intention to heal and the compassion to heal, you're a healer. Mm-hmm. You can heal
right.
yourself and others. Okay? It's all about the light.
Right.
Everything is about the light. We are light workers. That's what I raised, light mm-hmm. workers. And I tell them, this is what you are. You're here to use the light. And you can send it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can send it anywhere, and it moves faster than the speed of light.
And that's the
it's
other
amazing.
Thing, people don't realize that they don't have to be in the presence. While it's wonderful that people can actually see you in person, but you can send it remotely mm-hmm. anywhere. It's just as quick as a thought.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I had a cousin who, he was going to Japan. He's from Boston. And he only heard about what I did at a family reunion maybe 2 years before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't talk about it unless somebody asks me. And he fell. It was on ice getting on the plane, and he broke ribs.
Mm.
And when he had to get on the plane, and it's a long flight to Japan, and I got an email from him asking if there was anything he could do. He was in such pain. He had gone to some type of a clinic there, but, you know, language barrier was a problem, but no one really could do anything for him. And he said he couldn't sit through the meetings. He was struggling, couldn't even sleep. So I set up the time because it was such a big time difference, and it turned out to be like 8 o'clock in the morning for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did, you know, a remote healing on him at that time. I told him to lay still, and I didn't talk to him. And next thing you know, I had a fruit basket or one of those edible arrangements delivered and said, "I don't know what you did. I don't care what you did." You.
That's so great. And see, you know, it's interesting because some people will absorb it so well. When my father was diagnosed with a grade 4 glioblastoma in 2000, and he passed from it in 2001. But he had gone to Reiki, and he had done all sorts of Qigong, and we went to the Deepak Chopra Center for healing, and he wasn't able to knock it, right? And now I just heard of a case that Dr. Rediger told at Omega from one of his patients who had a grade 4 glioblastoma, and then had, now there's no trace of it. And he's been doing spiritual healings and energy and all these wonderful things, and meditation, you talk about, that's a big thing. And for some reason, it cured him. My father's been gone since 2001. Why do you think it takes for some and not for others?
Okay, I have the perfect answer for that.
Okay.
First of all, my husband passed 5 years ago mm-hmm. in August, and he, again, had cancer from 2002. It was great till 2009 and 2010. It kind of slipped through the cracks and metastasized. Now, I also believe in the contracts that we have.
Mm.
My husband would be alive today if that were capable. And I am able to step outside of the emotion and do what I have to do.
Right.
But everybody's got, we've got a contract. We've got a stamp just like on produce, okay? This is your time. And when it is, it is. And there, you could stand on your head and wiggle your ears and do as much healing as you want. And I'm doing it for a long time, and I'm sure many other people are. And I see them stay, and I see them go. And I'm very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I had a small handful of people leave. But, you know, they're here for a purpose. And why do you think, let's say someone, and this is something I read in People magazine, a soldier that would do 4 tours in Afghanistan and then come home and get shot in a drive-by shooting. You know,
right.
It's when your time is up, your time is up. And I'll tell you one quick story, and this involves Teresa Caputo, mm-hmm. only because I did train her, and when I took her to her first open group,
mm-hmm.
and I never tell anybody where I'm taking them or what the story is, because I always like it to be pure.
Right.
And the big thing more so was that it was a 7-year-old boy who drowned, and her daughter was 7 at the time.
Mm.
So I didn't want her to have the slightest inkling of what she was walking into.
Sure.
So we went inside, and there was a family of people sitting at the table, and Teresa got started, and she's going, and she's reading, and she's got all this good information, and all of a sudden, she's got their little boy. But he came through just like Bart Simpson. I didn't watch The Simpsons much, but I know the whole woo-hoo thing where
yeah.
the hands went up in the air.
Right.
Well, this little boy must have loved that, and that's what Teresa did, and you know, they were like at full attention. But he proceeded to talk about how he died. And then he explained through Teresa another way he would have gone. He was trying to tell them it was my time.
Mm.
And he actually showed himself bound and bloodied in a trunk of a car.
Ooh.
So, which was a fear of their parents.
Oh, God.
Because he was such a personable little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he just talked to everybody. And they used to say, Brian, you can't do that. Brian, you got to stop that. You know, and they worried about that. But this is what he came through and showed. And he said, this is how I would have gone. This was a much better choice.
Oh.
And they, both parents became my students and opened up spiritually after he passed, and quite amazingly. And he would take his father on journeys through the other side at night when he slept. And it was just incredible, incredible stories of the things that I see.
Do you think that there's ever a wrong place at a wrong time, or is even that destined?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I do not. And I am a firm believer in everything happens for a reason, is exactly as it's supposed to. No matter what the delay, no matter what the pain, there is something to learn between one point and the next. And people don't always like to hear that. You know, mm-hmm. it's very hard to tell somebody it was your child's time when your child is a little one or a baby. And,
right.
you know, my daughter lost a baby. And fortunately, she's very gifted. And she's was old enough and with me long enough to know that it was the best case scenario at that time for that little boy, and moved on to have 3 amazing children. But others will suffer their entire lives mourning the loss of a child and not or even a spouse,
right?
And not understanding that the people who pass, they don't go anywhere.
Mm.
They're right here with us all the time. They're constantly interacting with us. They're constantly trying to let us know they're here. They're showing us signs. Some of us see them, some of us don't. And if I told you how many people have actually seen my grandson in my classroom, and they know nothing about him,
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Right.
They wouldn't have a clue. He died 7 hours after his birth. And they'll see him when he's 4, and they'll see him when he's 6, and they'll see him when he'd be 18 now.
Mm-hmm.
And but they see him. Little children have described him to me in my room,
right.
in my healing room.
Right.
So you know, when we die, we don't go anywhere.
Right.
We here who live in the physical world, we miss everything. we don't see the physical. We can't touch the physical, so we mourn it. Mm-hmm. But they're there.
Is there something that we could teach our listeners to embrace, Pat, just as they're driving right now, maybe a quick exercise? I know you work with people for years to help them to develop this skill, but just one meditation or something that they can just start to open that door of curiosity, and then maybe hopefully it'll just be a snowball effect and they'll get more books on it and take some classes and reach out to you. But what do you recommend they do to try to get started?
Well, one, begin to recognize the signs and not ignore them. Mm-hmm. You've probably read this in books, and I know how many people you've interviewed, and people have to come up with the colorful birds that show up out of nowhere.
Sure.
And they're there every day. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, out of the blue, maybe on the windowsill, very close, right in your eye vision, or all of a sudden a song that you put on while you're thinking of a loved one, and the song actually answers the thoughts in your mind. The random thoughts that run through your head out of nowhere. When you're in the zone, all of a sudden there's random thoughts. Pay attention to those random thoughts. Even, again, a license plate on a car when you're kind of daydreaming, driving along, and all of a sudden there's something that's maybe your mother's birth date or some type of a pet name that was used or a nickname that we called them or they called us is right in front of us, on the car in front of us. There's so many signs. As far as meditation goes, on my YouTube channel, I have 18 five-minute meditations. Now, they're what I tell people to use. I made them up one time for we called them Meditation Monday, and I only did one for Christmas. I was trying to put something up on Facebook for people to not get stressed over the holidays. And everybody accepted it so well, they kept writing to me to do more. So for the next 18 weeks, I did the morning meditation. Late at Sunday night, I was trying to put it together and bring some music into it. And it was a real big hit. And I find those are really good practice meditations to practice with, and I will tell those people out there that find it difficult to meditate. They say too many busy thoughts come into their head. They can't meditate.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that your thoughts from your subconscious are supposed to be there, and instead of fighting them, just when the first busy thought comes in, imagine it in a bubble and just say, thank you, I'll take care of it later, and let it float away, and then come back to the meditation. When the next one comes in, I got it, thank you, and do that for a week. At the end of the week, you'll have less bubbles and more meditation.
Ooh, I love the bubble analogy. Mm-hmm. That's great. It's like the blowing up roses one where if you're having a conflict with someone. I read in one of the 50 books I absorbed when I was first going down this path. But you picture their face surrounded by lavender roses and then picture it blowing up like a balloon and going up into, you know, the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
with their head?
Yeah, with their head in it. And, you know, sometimes they're frowning and sometimes they're screaming. But either way, if you have conflict with somebody, that's been very helpful for me. There they go. I'm like, it's your problem now. I'm not taking it on. I would love to ask your opinion, Pat, on manifesting, because it seems like a lot of people I've interviewed have different theories on it. For example, Carolyn Mace says, you know, you never know what your path is. And sometimes your divine path is to suffer and not have it and to lack because you need to have compassion. But then there's someone like Gail Thackray told me that everybody should have abundance. And it's just about you're not having the right thoughts and not having the right vision board. So what are your thoughts on manifesting?
Okay, that's a good one because I teach it all the time.
Oh,
and it's one of my hats.
Yeah.
And well, manifesting to me, I start the first line of every manifest with, I thank the universe, or God, but I say universe because I work in so many different countries. Mm-hmm. I thank the universe for supplying me with the perfect whatever for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last line is the key. I ask that this be for the highest good of all concerned.
Mm.
So therefore, if it is not, it will not take place.
Mm-hmm.
If it is for your highest good, and listen, everything we do affects other people.
Right.
And people just don't see that in the big vision. It affects so many other people, the decisions we make. Mm-hmm. So when we put it forward, no matter what it is that we want, and we ask that it be for the highest good of all, accept the outcome. Mm-hmm. However, if you are obsessive about any manifest, you might as well start all over again. Because when you're obsessive about it, you're out of balance.
Mm.
When you're out of balance, you don't manifest well.
So okay, if you're constantly chiming out, thank you in advance for this, thank you in advance for that, you know, because you're basically mm-hmm. pounding the drum of I deserve it, I deserve it, I deserve it. At least mm-hmm. that's the vibration that you're putting out there. The gimme, 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 you might have the right words, but your vibration is gimme, gimme, gimme.
Vibration, yeah. Yeah. Your vibration is wrong. And it really yeah. does come back to vibration. If you have my students get homework from me, mm-hmm. and one of the pages of homework is called Sample Manifest, and I give them a template for a partner in life and a job, because that's mostly what people ask me for. But it's for a home, it's for a car, it's for a vacation, it's for whatever it is that you desire.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tell them is if you're going to manifest something, I have the first line and the last line, and in between are very positive statements.
Mm-hmm.
That you can tweak it, or you can leave it just the way that I have it. It's up to you. Everybody's individual.
Right.
But do it for 4 days, and then put it away.
Okay.
And don't think about it. Just leave it alone. You already put it out into the universe. You mm-hmm. set it. You set your intention. It's on its way. Don't mess it up by being obsessive about it. Just let it go. Trust. Have faith. If it's supposed to be yours, it will be.
That's great.
And you know, so it's kind of letting go and letting God all the time. And that's not so easy to do, but I do work hard at helping people to understand that.
How long is your wait list, Pat, for people to get into
you? My wait list is not long, believe it or not, because I work so much.
Oh, good.
I fit so many people in all the time. And another thing, because of the word manifest, I find that I get cancellation for the people who were supposed to be here.
Mm.
And people always come in and say, oh, my God, this was my birthday. Thank you so much. I can't believe that you got a cancellation. Or I'm just about to go in to have a CAT scan, and this is the day that I needed to see you. So I just trust the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I leave that to my assistant, but she knows. And I tell her all the time, don't worry about it. And she'll say, oh, my goodness, we have two cancellations. Don't worry about it.
Right.
They're never supposed to have it. They're going to call. Or you're going to see it on the email, and you're going to give it to them. And that's how it works.
That's
so I don't worry about it. It's really a long time ago. I'll tell you, I had a 6 month waiting list,
mm-hmm.
and I found that to be reprehensible. And only because I'm a healer, I'm not a medium.
Right.
For a medium, people, the loved ones have already passed.
Right.
Okay. They
right.
can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have people that are dying.
Right.
So I can't have a 6 month waiting list. And this is what happened. Some woman called and she had fourth stage ovarian cancer and I had no space.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this can never happen again. And I put it out into the universe and I said, I can't have that. That won't work.
Right.
So I don't do much before, you know, further than a month out. That's
right.
what I do. And the universe complied and it always fills up and I don't worry about it.
Perfect. That's perfect.
That's
you know, and I have a friend who's got a kind of a chronic illness and she's been to every healer and nothing is taken. And a lot of the messages that you can really heal yourself if you just acknowledge the fact that God is source and that it's going to come through you, but you have to stop shutting all the doors by closing up your chakras.
Yep.
And,
yep.
you know, she'll go to 25 different healers and I think those chakras will still be closed. You know, we got to do our human homework here a little bit. It's
we
not just,
have to.
Right? You can't just show up the and ask
homework,
Pat to fix me. Yeah.
Yes, the homework is the key. That's why what I learned when I first started healing and I put my hands on people and I could see people healing and tumors disappearing, things, some things I saw right in front of my very eyes and they go away. And then I think to myself, if I don't teach them
mm-hmm.
not to go back to that abusive husband or that toxic job, or if I don't teach them how to love themselves
mm-hmm.
and really feel self-worth, they're just going to get sick again.
Right.
So that's why I started talking to people. That's why I started counseling. And then I took it to the next level. And I said, you know what? If I can do this one-on-one, I can do this in a group. And I can teach people how to heal themselves before they have to sit on my couch. And that's what happened. And it took on a life of its own. One class became two, became three, became four. And, you know, and it just, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Perfect. And I always am.
Well, you're supposed to be in Chicago, we think, after the first of the year. I just feel it. It's going to happen, young lady. So we're going to get you here. We're going to have an event at the Womit Theater, and we're going to let you do some healing for a lot of people who need it.
Okay. And I love that young lady thing. That didn't slip by me.
Oh, good. Well, you know, it's funny. Whenever I go to get coffee and the guy calls me Miss instead of Ma'am, I said, you have no idea how much you just made my day. So it's the little things. We've got to do it.
Yes, it is. It's the little things that count. I'll take it.
I love it. Well, Pat, it's been such a joy talking to you. PatLongo.net is how you find out how you can get into Pat, talk to Pat. Also, check her out with her YouTube channels, and you can learn the Meditation Mondays. All the meditations are there. It's PatLongo.net. And what else am I leaving out, Pat? How else can people find you?
Facebook, just by name, Pat Longo. I have a spiritual page and a public page and a private page. And I know I'm on Twitter and Instagram and things like that, but somebody does that for me because
no,
at 68 years old, I do not play with social media too well. But I'm learning.
No, nor should you be expected to. Stick with what works. You're doing the healing work and you're on Facebook. That's more than a lot. So we love the fact that we can find you and that your website is so chock full of information. So listeners, stay tuned to the schedule at jenweigel.com/gigs. We hope to make an announcement that Pat's going to be coming to town. We're trying to work out the details and it's just a very exciting possibility. So I can't wait.
I'm in.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet you in person, Pat. It's just been such a pleasure to chat with you. So thank you for all that you do.
Jennifer, thank you for having me.
And all of you out there, treat others the way you'd like to be treated and stay spiritual, damn it. I'm Jennifer Weigel, and we'll talk with you next time.